Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Keith Caulfield, and I am the co-director of charts at Billboard. Joining me, as always, is Billboard.com senior editor Katie Atkinson.
Oh, hey, Keith.
Oh, hey.
How's it going?
How are you?
I'm doing quite well. How are you?
You're quite well. How long can I keep this up?
I don't know, but I'm not sure if I want to find out.
It's actually kind of hurting. I should stop now. It's like so guttural. The Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is
So the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the week's big pop news, fun chart stats and stories, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. This week on the show, we've got an interview with Andra Day. We actually talked to her backstage at the Billboard Music Awards, and she was, as Katie might say, delightful.
Delightful.
She was delightful.
Lovely.
We gave her a sandwich.
We did. We fed her.
We
That's
fed
what we
her.
Do here at the Pop Shop.
She really was probably one of the nicest folks that we talked to.
Yeah, it's the second time I've talked to her, and I've had the same great experience every time I speak with her. So
stick around for that later on. Plus, we've got chart updates and chart news tidbits about Drake.
Drake, huh?
Drake. Heard of him? Nick Jonas, the Hamilton cast album, Sia, and Kent Jones. Oh. So, yeah, we've got some new names in the
mix.
It's not just all about Drake this week. But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on iTunes so you won't miss an episode, and give us a rating or review while you're at it. If you have any questions for us, feel free to tweet us at Keith_Caulfield or KT Atkinson. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit iTunes.com/Billboard Podcast.
If you'd like to hear more of Keith's voices.
if you'd like to hear more of my voices, maybe not that one.
So what's up with Drake, Keith?
What is up with Drake? Thank you. Thanks for the transition. Well, Drake's Views is still number one on the Billboard 200 albums chart. It earned 121,000 equivalent album units in the week ending June 16th, of course, according to Nielsen Music. That was actually down 10% for the week. It's not eroding very quickly, mind you, so that's why it's holding on so well. Of course, it's also a monster on streaming services.
Yeah.
There's that thing, too. What's interesting about the fact that it's number one is now Views is the first album by a man to spend 7 consecutive weeks at number one in nearly 16 years.
Wow.
Eminem's The Marshall Mathers LP was the last one to do so in terms of just an album by a dude with 7 weeks in a row.
In a row, yeah.
It racked up 8 total weeks at number one, all in a row.
Okay.
Between June and July of 2000.
So one more week to tie. 2 to break.
Right. Now,
and then there's probably people before Eminem then.
Well, the last album to spend any, like, 7 weeks in a row was actually Adele's 25.
Okay.
And then the last album by a guy to spend more weeks at number one, regardless of whether they were in a row or not, was Eminem's Recovery.
Oh, okay.
Which spent 7 non-consecutive weeks at number one back in 2010. That said, it seems like Drake might be number one again next week.
Yeah.
I'm jumping ahead. The Red Hot Chili Peppers released their new album last Friday, which is possibly looking at maybe a number one debut.
They've done some good press for it. They did James Corden, Carpool Karaoke, which was obviously a big hit.
James Corden shirtless.
Yeah.
Which
yes.
was probably why most people were tuning in.
Yeah.
Because why not? You know, after singing with Broadway stars, you then immediately get into the car with
get
Anthony Kiedis
with,
and take
Red
your
Hot
shirt
Chili
off.
Peppers, yeah.
That's what I would do. I would feel woefully inadequate getting in the car with Anthony Kiedis and Flea and being like, yeah, I'll take my shirt off.
Yeah, but he did it. And that's why James Corden is James Corden.
You gotta admire a man that's just like, I'm going to do it for the comedy. Yeah, so the Chili Peppers album could possibly have a shot at number one. But right now, I think Drake might have the edge, as I mentioned earlier, because Drake's album isn't eroding that quickly.
Right.
So it kind of depends on how the week shakes out. But if the Chili Peppers do hit number one, it'll be their second number one album. And then, of course, if Views is number one, it'll have the longest run for a man, well, in a long time.
Was the Chili Peppers Californication their other number one? What was their other number one album?
That is a great question, Katie.
I like to ask you things that aren't in front of you.
Yeah, I haven't actually. We'll figure that out in just a moment.
Uh-huh.
But let's get to the other stuff on the Billboard 200 albums chart. Nick Jonas this week debuts at number two with Last Year Was Complicated. You know, last year was
complicated. It was complicated.
It was a complicated year. And actually, this is his highest charting album outside of the Jonas Brothers.
Good for him.
I think some people consider this his second solo album. I think most people consider it his, like, third or fourth.
If you're counting The Administration.
Well, there's The Administration. Then he had that, I think he had an album even before that that maybe was released, like, quasi-independently through Christian stores a million years ago, like when he was a child.
Man.
Not even sure if that
was
counts.
It pre-Jonas Brothers?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Like, it was basically, like, when he was, like, the Jonas Brothers, I think, were kind of assembled around him. Because,
yeah, I knew he was, like, on Broadway in Les Mis as a kid, and yeah. He was, like, the musician. And then it's like, oh, they could probably help out, too.
Yeah. Wait, you have brothers? And they sing and dance and play instruments,
right.
too? My, why, yes. So anyway, Nick's album, Last Year Was Complicated, debuts at number two. That surpasses the peak of his Who I Am album, which was, of course, the one with The Administration. That peaked at number three. And the number six peak of his self-titled debut album, which was his last album, the one that had Chains and Jealous
yeah.
and so forth.
The breakthrough solo album.
The breakthrough album.
Yeah.
So the new album actually starts with 66,000 equivalent units, of which 47,000 were in traditional album sales. And that actually beats the sales debut of his last album, which started with 37,000.
Wow.
But, of course, Who I Am actually started with 82,000.
Mm.
So, of course, that was a different time. It was kind of a long time ago. It was 6 years ago. Anyway. And, you know, if you're wondering, the Jonas Brothers have had actually two number one albums on the Billboard 200 chart. A little bit longer.
And Lines, Vines, and Trying Times.
You loved that album title last week when we were talking about it. Elsewhere on the Billboard 200, the Hamilton cast album has a huge jump. Well, I mean, not huge, but huge relatively speaking. He goes 13 to 3 on the Billboard 200 albums chart after the big night it had at the Tony Awards on June 12th, where it won 11 Tony Awards. And it was basically the Hamilton show. We talked about this for the past show and a half, probably. But, I mean, they opened the show, they closed the show, they performed in the middle of the show, they won almost every award possible on the show. It was kind of Hamilton's evening.
Hamiltonies.
The ratings were up this year as mm-hmm. well. So all of that promotion led to the big jump on the chart. It's the first week in the top 10 for the Hamilton album, and it is the highest charting cast album since 2011.
The Book of Mormon.
Book of Mormon also hit number three mm-hmm. the week after the Tony Awards. And in the last 50 years, only three cast albums have even reached the top 10.
Man.
Book of Mormon and Hamilton and Hair.
I think that they're in pretty good company then.
Yeah.
To say the very least.
I mean, phenomenally successful shows.
Yeah.
And Hamilton is a pop culture phenomenon,
yeah.
too. So I would have loved to have seen Hamilton go higher. I would have loved to have seen it go to number two.
And maybe just edge out the last
yeah.
best performer.
Because,
yes.
Because then you could say it's the highest
charting
cast album
here at
since
Billboard.
1969, you know, when Hair was number one. But We don't. We can't.
We can't say that.
Because Nick Jonas was slightly more popular
yes,
this week.
Yes, this happens.
Unfortunately. Unfortunately for Hamilton.
I do have some Red Hot Chili Peppers numbers if you're interested.
Hey, you know, if we just
revisiting.
Kept, if we just kept talking for a little bit.
The last one was actually Stadium Arcadium.
Oh, yeah, of
in
course.
In 2006. Or their only other number one, I should say. Or their only number one at this point, because we will find out what the other one ends up at.
I think that's probably surprising to a lot of people that would assume they've had lots of number one albums.
It was surprising to me. I can tell you that they had two number twos.
Ooh, By the Way and Californication?
I'm with you.
Oh, see, I would
Californication guessed. Was three. Blood Sugar Sex Magik was three. One Hot Minute was four. I mean, like, they were just missing out on a lot of albums, so.
Man, I think when I caught on to the Chili Peppers, I think, when everyone else did. Well, at least of my
Under the Bridge?
Well, actually, slightly before that.
Okay.
With the Mother's Milk album.
Okay.
With, they did a cover of Stevie Wonder's Higher Ground.
Yeah.
And I was like, and it was, they were all over MTV.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, this is cool. And then when Give It Away, Under the Bridge, mm-hmm. all that stuff came out, I was just like, whoa. And then I was...
Blood Sugar Sex Magik is
such a
great album. Classic, yeah.
So good. So good. So anyway, well, we'll see how the Chili Peppers turn out. We'll see if the Peppers can be a pepper and go to number one. I don't know what that was. Speaking of Hamilton and Broadway stuff, as we were talking about a second ago, Katie, did you hear the What the World Needs Now is Love, Broadway for Orlando All-Star charity single?
Yeah, checked it out Monday morning when it came out. It is full of, you know, huge Broadway stars.
Lin-Manuel Miranda,
mm-hmm.
Joel Grey, who else? Tommy Toon, Chita Rivera.
Sarah Bareilles and Carole King of both of the beautiful musical
yeah.
and Gloria Estefan and Whoopi Goldberg and Idina Menzel and Kristen Bell together. And yeah, it was delightful. I mean, it was the nice thing about it. They started with a really inspirational message to all the victims of Orlando. And then the song, I mean, it's such like an uplifting, positive song and message. And I think that they just did such a good job of not making it. They could have made it a sad or emotional ballad, whatever, but they put the emphasis on the positive, and it's just beautiful.
Accentuate the positive.
Absolutely.
I watched there's a video that goes with it, and it's for sale on both Broadway Records website as well as, I'm sure, Playbill can get you there, and I think it's on iTunes now mm-hmm. by this point. But I honestly... towards the end, like in the last like minute of the song, when they have all the different sort of amazingly voiced divas coming in to do,
yeah.
I got chills.
Oh my goodness!
I was like, oh my god, I'm feeling all the feels right now.
Yep.
Because it's just, you know, all-star charity singles are difficult to pull off.
Yes.
And they can go awry really fast. And it's difficult to critique these because everyone's hearts are in the right place
mm-hmm.
but sometimes I think if you just take a step back and say I'm just going to look at this with a critical eye and put aside the you know the good intentions
mm-hmm.
and say We Are the World 25 was a wonderful idea but it could have been better executed.
Sure.
This song, when you get so many amazing vocalists in one room together, it's just stunning. And there are so many people I was unfamiliar with.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I have no idea who I'm watching.
I kind of wanted some names
yes.
on the video.
Like to flash on. I mean,
yeah.
they
there were so many people I recognized or knew. Or
yes.
some people I heard, like Jessie Mueller, I heard her voice, and that's how I recognized her. She was wearing like a backward baseball cap and had headphones on, and I was like, wait, who is that? And the minute she like belted out her line, I was like, oh, it's Jessie Mueller from Waitress and Beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, but my sort of ignorance of a lot of musical theater is sort of shows its colors there. And despite the fact that I know a little bit about, you know, Broadway and stuff,
mm-hmm.
there were still a lot of people I didn't know. But that does not take away any of the impact of the song, because all those people are incredibly talented, huge stars on Broadway and in the theater world. And also, it's a wonderful cause. I mean, also at the same time, it's just a it's a great recording.
That's the thing. It's a good song.
It's just like you want to just like buy it because it's good, uh-huh. not just because you're giving money to charity.
And like to think that this idea, you know, formulated over a couple of days, they got all these people in the room. Was it Wednesday or Thursday last week? And
it
then it's completely
yeah.
turned around, you know, by today with like, you know, this beautiful production where they took all, I can't even imagine the material they had to work with if all these huge stars recorded, you know, solo vocals and a group vocal, and somebody had to make those choices, and whoever did that made the right choices.
Yeah. Even one of our, before we move on, one of our faves, Joshua Colley, in Miscast, that Broadway thing, mm-hmm. he was one of the three little boys mm-hmm. who sang the Skylar Sisters, mm-hmm. The work song. He was on Maya and Marty.
Yes.
He was one of the little boys in there, and he was in the chorus of What the World Needs Now.
I didn't even notice him. Now I have to watch it again.
I was like, hey, it's a little boy.
Wait, I have one more thing, too. Yeah, yeah. You were saying, like, how amazing these vocalists are, but the other thing about a group of Broadway stars is there's some people who aren't the powerhouse vocalists that are these incredible actors who can bring this emotion to it. You know, there are people, like, you watch this video, and some people just, like, kill you with the way they... like emoted a line, you know, like it's just spectacular. Everyone should go check that out.
So go watch it, buy it.
Buy it. Proceeds all go to help victims of Orlando and their families.
Yeah, all the 100% of the proceeds from the sale of the song benefit the GLBT Community Center of Central Florida. Let's move on to the Billboard Hot 100. We've got some news, some actually exciting news on the Hot 100 this week. Yes, Drake is still number one with One Dance. We have that. It's number one for a total of 6 weeks now. The exciting stuff actually happens towards the bottom of the top 10, where both Sia and Kent Jones hit the top 10 with their latest singles. Sia reaches the top 10 with Cheap Thrills featuring Sean Paul, which jumps 13 to 8. It's the first top 10 for Sia since Chandelier reached number 8. She also reached the top 10 as a featured artist on Flo Rida's Wild Ones, which went to number 5.
And Titanium.
Of course, David Guetta's Titanium, which went to number 7. And both of those were back in 2012. Excuse me. So I think it's great how Sia's album, we talked about this before, is that the album started off with Alive was the first single, and that didn't quite set the world on fire.
Right.
And sometimes, you know... You know, you think, well, there will be another single that'll come along and maybe that'll change things. And, you know, most of the time that doesn't happen. Sometimes it does. And Sia, they made it work with this song. And
I'm glad that that Alive not lighting the world on fire didn't stop the album in its tracks, because Cheap Thrills is such a great single.
And that sometimes happens. You know, sometimes the bottom drops out on something and the label may give up, or the artist gives up, or the promotion staffs give up and they don't want to do it anymore. But they clearly felt like this was going to work.
They were right.
They were. and they kept on going.
And it's a great song.
And in the top 10, Kent Jones gets his first top 10 with Don't Mind, which jumps 11 to 9. You like this song.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. And it's like one of those songs that comes out of nowhere, an artist who comes out of nowhere.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, like maybe people don't even know the name Kent Jones, but you might have already heard the song.
I'm super fairly unfamiliar.
So it's like a very multicultural song. Like the chorus of it has him speaking in different languages, and it's just got a great beat. It's kind of a tropical vibe. To call it an R&B song is even a little weird. Like, you know, when you hear it, it's a pop song, and obviously that's showing with how people are responding to it, and it's climbing up the chart.
I'm thinking, was this one of those songs that's been kind of like a slow burn thing?
And our coworker Gail has written, you know, about Kent Jones and Amaya, who manages the R&B charts. That's where I keep hearing this name, and he just keeps climbing up. But yeah, the chorus of the song is like, hola, ¿cómo está? She said konnichiwa. Like, the whole thing is, like, all in different languages.
Okay.
It's really fun.
Gary Trust, in his story online, you know, reporting on the Hot 100, says that the song interpolates the late R&B legend Barry White's Practice What You Preach, which actually hit the top 20 back in 1994. And we have a quote from Kent saying that he's a huge Barry White fan. So he had to pay homage. And he says, I just like everything and everybody, and I like being able to introduce myself. I love to know how to speak to people no matter where they're from. That's the basis of the song.
That's so fun.
To tap a nerve into each demographic culture. So if he can reach a little bit of you with the konnichiwa, then
I mean, great. And it's kind of given me a little bit of a reminder of maybe somebody named Omi from last summer.
Hey, oh. You know? Could this be the song of the
little
summer?
International flair, you know, we'll see.
This could be the surprise song of the summer. Well, that's the big exciting news on the Billboard Hot 100 this week. Make sure you stay tuned to all of Gary Truss's coverage of the Hot 100 throughout the week, including his Hot 100 chart moves that will be coming out later on in the week, probably on Thursday. I think now it is time for our guest interview with Andra Day.
Let's do it. We caught up with her at the Billboard Music Awards last month, actually.
Yeah, we've been holding on to this one.
Holding on to it.
We're letting them out. We're teasing them out. And we're finally letting this one out into the world.
You know, she broke through in 2015 with Rise Up, which was nominated for Best R&B Performance at the Grammys. And she also was nominated for Best R&B Album for her debut album, Cheers to the Fall.
Not too shabby.
And, you know, the reason why it's perfect timing to roll this out right now is because she's up for 3 BET Awards this weekend.
What a nice coincidence.
Oh, look at how that worked out. She's actually up for the Best New Artist Prize, the Centric Award, and the big one, Best Female R&B/Pop Artist, where she'll be competing against K. Michelle, Rihanna, Beyonce, and Adele. So, those are
some names. I'm sure she's probably sitting there. When you hear this interview, I'm sure she's probably sitting there going, yeah, I'm just, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, as you'll hear in her interview, she is like very incredulous about all her success and accolades. And
she's so humble.
Yes.
Which is good.
Yes. And just to note that this interview took place in May, and it was before Andra performed at Hillary Clinton's She's With Us concert in LA. And now here is our lovely conversation with Andra Day. And welcome, Andra Day, to the Billboard Pop
Thank
Shop
you.
Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
We deliver
Yay.
Sandwiches at the Pop Shop Podcast.
They delivered me a box lunch. Woohoo. Thank you.
Yeah. So it's been such a massive breakthrough year for you.
Oh, thank you.
The success of Rise Up has just been, you know.
Oh, thank you. Uh-huh.
Like, just crazy. Mm-hmm. And the commercial was Stevie Wonder, and you're performing mm-hmm. for Tony Bennett tonight.
Yes, I am.
It's mm-hmm. just, there's so many, yeah. Are these all things?
That's what I do.
Whatever. Yeah, that's my life.
That's why I laugh when I hear stuff. I'm like, I'm always like, did they just run out of people or something? Is that what?
No, maybe right. maybe
like you didn't have like Bono wasn't available, yeah. like somebody amazing to do this.
No, I think okay. that you're actually very talented, oh, and they want to see you.
Thank you.
But what has it been like for you, just to you know, just have all of these things one after another happen this year?
It's been cool. You know, it's been definitely a roller coaster. I think that's like an understatement. You know, but it's cool. I'm kind of a living day to day, moment by moment type of person. Yeah. So you know, it's not. I've just been grateful for everything. It's great, and it's really great actually to see the song resonate with people and kind of do what I hoped that it would do when we decided to put it on the album. And you know, I tell people I've met. It's been amazing. We've done the Grammys, the White House. We're doing you know this Tony Bennett's birthday tonight. But I've met more people who've been struggling with like cancer and depression in my life in the last year than I have in my entire life, and it's not depressing. You know what I mean? They're like, hey, this is really helping me. So it's cool to see that you can really impact people in that way. And I think that's what's been most rewarding about the process.
That's incredible.
It's been crazy.
The power of music.
Yes. Got it. Mm-hmm.
And you actually just got some nominations for BET Awards
did,
this week
yeah.
as well.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Just adding to the nominations.
That was another one where I was like, they ran out of, must have been running low on. Yeah. But I was like, no, it's incredible. I'm so, 3. I was like, wow, it's so crazy. But they've been very supportive. Very, very supportive.
I'm just going to keep listening to your accomplishments. And you have the Hillary Clinton concert coming up in June.
Yes,
she's
yes,
with
yes.
us. Why was that an important thing for you to do?
You know what? I definitely do support her. You know what I mean? And I think it's just, I think to have a different perspective in the White House, but someone who has experience as well, too, and looks at things differently. And, you know, there are some other also mitigating reasons, right? There's some alternatives that are a little scary. Is that right to say the very least?
I don't know what you're talking about. Right? I have no idea what you're talking about.
But, you know, so it was important for me to go out and to show that I, you know, support her, not just from afar, but I'm here and I'm present and I'm supporting as well, too, you know.
Absolutely. And since it's been such a big first year for you, we actually had a little game of firsts.
Oh, really? Okay. All right. Okay.
It's a very low pressure game.
Okay.
It's called The Very First Time.
Okay. Oh, God. That sounds like so much
pressure. It's not what you think.
All right.
Your publicist is already lingering, like, what are they going to ask? Basically, it's like first time questions. Like, okay. What was the first time that you heard a song of yours on the radio?
Oh, okay. The first time I heard a song of mine on the radio, I was in San Diego, and we were doing radio promo, and that's where I'm from. That's my hometown. And so that was, they told me, they were like, okay, go outside and we have something to show you. And so I'm sitting in my car and I was like, what do you have to show me? We have to go. We on a schedule. And then it starts to play and I was like, wow. And I literally like really had to try to not cry in that moment, because it was, you know, what flashes in your mind, all of the sitting on the beach in San Diego, passing out a little demo tape that was horribly produced and going to the house studios all throughout the city. You remember all that when that happens, you know, so it was amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
What was the first album you bought?
The first album I bought was probably The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill.
Ooh.
Because I couldn't really afford to buy CDs or albums, so I was like, record and play on a little tape player,
that.
You know, right? Where you just miss the first part
the first
of the
10
song
seconds.
Always.
Damn it.
Oh, it kills me every time.
What was the first celebrity that you met where you were starstruck?
The first celebrity I met.
It was probably Stevie Wonder, I'm assuming. Because you met, like,
his
wife.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that great story.
That was it, pretty much. And I think I'm still starstruck every time I see him. But he's so good at making you feel like you're just family. And so my mind just sort of tucks away that he's Stevie Wonder. But it was absolutely Stevie, 100%.
Got two more, and then we'll let you go. What did you do with your first paycheck or first big payday? Like, did you buy something for your parents?
Look, what big payday?
We're still working on that.
We're still in music, right? No, I'm kidding, right?
No, exactly. Right? We're working on that. We're getting there.
No, you know what? I don't know that I don't know that I did anything specific. I mean, it was, like I said, it's been a slow process, you know. So whenever I do, I always just try to help my
parents.
You're
like, I haven't had time to go home yet.
Yeah, I was like, I haven't done that. But I'm always helping my parents and my family with whatever they need. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Andrew. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Thank you, guys. You would tell me your heart aches. Now I understand the pain.
Oh, why did I let you drown? Thanks so much to Andra Day for sitting down with us. I hope you guys enjoyed that interview as much as we enjoyed doing it, because it was just so much fun.
Hope she enjoyed that sandwich.
Yes, and I hope you enjoyed the turkey sandwich, Andra.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't buy it for you. Yeah. We just, you know.
We walked over and picked up a box of lunch for you.
Well, I think now it's time for our chart stat of the week.
Yeah.
So, this week in 1985, Bryan Adams' power ballad Heaven topped the Billboard Hot 100 chart back on June 22nd, 1985. It became his first of four number ones, and he also hit the top with Everything I Do It For You, All For Love, and Have You Ever Really Loved a Woman? Katie, what's the common thread through all these songs, of course, aside from being number one and by being from, you know, Bryan Adams?
Looking for commonalities. Is it a songwriter that they have in common?
No.
Sort of
a more general thing.
Oh, interesting. I mean, love songs?
No, I mean, true, they are all love songs. That is.
I went a little too general.
That's
there?
Not what I was looking for.
All right, hook me up with it. What is it?
They are all from films.
Oh, look at that. Okay, I can name some of them. Like, Everything I Do It For You was from the Robin Hood Prince of Thieves soundtrack.
Correct.
Have You Ever Really Loved a Woman? Was that, what is that?
I think it was from Don Juan DeMarco.
I was going to say Desperado, so I was on the right track.
DeMarco, Desperado, you know.
But the other two, I don't know.
All For Love was from The Three Musketeers.
Oh, yes, I did know that, actually.
And All For Love was an all-star collaboration with Sting and Rod Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Heaven, it's easily forgivable if you don't remember the film.
Okay.
The film was called A Night in Heaven.
Nope.
Starring Leslie Ann Warren and Christopher Atkins as a male stripper.
Okay.
Who was also her student.
Oh.
Ooh
is
la
this
la.
Worth checking out, Keith? Should I revisit this classic?
Well, classic is an interesting word to use. It's not a terribly good film.
Fair enough.
In fact, in Fred Bronson's book, Number One Hits book, Fred Bronson is a freelancer for Billboard and, of course, used to be our Chartbeat editor. Fred wrote about all of our number ones on Hot 100. And in his book, he talked about how, when Brian wrote the song Heaven for the movie, he was commissioned to write it. He mm-hmm. read the script. He wasn't terribly impressed. Wrote it anyways. Then they really liked the song. Film was done. They showed it to him. He was even, I think, less impressed then. And basically, he did it as a favor.
Mm.
And they put it onto the movie, into the soundtrack. And this was before Bryan Adams became big with, like Run
Summer
to You and Summer of 69.
Yeah.
And then suddenly he blew up.
Oh, wow.
And Heaven wasn't a single. It was just an album cut. And there was, finally, radio stations basically just started playing Heaven on their own.
Wow.
And turned it into a single.
Man.
So, despite the fact that this song was written for kind of a not very good movie about a male stripper who has an affair with his teacher. And there you go.
That's your chart stat of the week.
There's your chart stat of the week. This week in 1985, Bryan Adams' Heaven hit number one on the Billboard Hot 100. I think we're done for the week.
Well, what if I have a great song for us to go out on?
Is it going to be Heaven?
Sort of. the DJ Sammy remix of Heaven.
Oh, the dancey up-tempo
yes,
version.
Yes, exactly.
That was actually a hit on the Billboard charts.
Yeah, and sadly, I knew that song before I knew Bryan Adams' Heaven, so there's a fun fact about me. But, we went back and I learned the other
it's
song,
It's all about
too.
Music discovery. It works in weird ways.
Indeed.
We learn about Heaven being used in a movie about a male stripper, and
yeah.
Now we learn about a dance remix of Heaven, which led you to the original
It's Heaven. All about learning, Keith.
It's all about learning. All right, we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye. Baby, you're all that I want. When you're lying here in my arms, I'm finding it hard to believe we're in heaven.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.